Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
It's the Star Wars X-Wing Aces target game.
Instruments, check! Attack! Attack! TIE Fighters, get them, Luke! Nice going, Donnie! Good shot, kid! You got them! Let's score, kid! TIE's running out! The Force move! Use the Force! I'm an ace!
Don't get cocky, Ace. It's my turn!
The Star Wars X-Wing Aces target game. New from Kenner's Star Wars collection.
There's no X-Wing.
What the hell?
Commercial. There's no X-Men.
What the hell was that?
There's
that was like this Tommy gun.
You're not wrong. It's kind of is a Tommy gun. The way this thing's set up
it looks like a regular
gun.
I felt like Pearl Harbor when Cuba Gooding was on the ship going. Ah!
Oh yeah, I forgot he was in that. He's in that.
Or maybe more. Maybe what's his face with the. From Predator, where he's like shaving his face, and he breaks the razor, and then he goes like, "Ah!"
Yeah. There you go. That's the one. That's the one. It kind of looks like that.
Not a single pew 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 in that, and that disappoints me. I'll be honest with you.
No, I'll tell you the same. Here's the problem. There are not. We're talking about X-Wing today, and I'm very excited about it. But there's not a single commercial out there for the original X-Wing launch. There's just nothing.
It was more of a magazine push, right? It was more of a hey, we got some floppy disk, and you should really play our game.
Yeah, and I feel like PC people are the ones that really got the short shrift. Like you would see commercials for any major, especially Star Wars game on consoles, but they just didn't do it for PC players. It was just
when I was heavy into PC gaming, did I even watch TV? Sure, I turned it on in the background, but I mean, was I really watching TV?
Not really. Mm-hmm. Not really. Maybe they knew that was wasted money. I don't know. But I would like to welcome everybody to here right here at Play Retro. We're going to talk about games. And welcome to it. I'm one of your hosts, Scott Johnson, and I hate the Empire as much as the other guy. But I have to say, the follow-up game made me like them a little bit more. Still, time to get our wings, preferably the X kind. And while we're at it, let's do a strafing run on that cruiser up there and see if we can't pop some Stormtrooper heads while we're at it.
Ooh, I want to watch the rated R version of what you're playing. And I am your other host, Brian Dunaway, and I'm sick. And I think this R2 unit has a bad motivator. And man, can I relate. Now hold on to your droid butts. I'm about to buzz the high command ship, the flight tower, and rudely gesture one wet mouth Mon Calamari for acting fishy. Akbar! Insert Howie scream, which is the other one that, you know, you got the Wilhelm scream, and then you got the Howie scream where it sounds like the ship's.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
Is that what that's called? Yeah. I didn't know how to name.
Yeah, I didn't either until Tondagosa, the great community member that he is and retro gamer that he is.
That guy knows his stuff, man. That dude knows his biz.
Yeah. And I put a link in there, too, if you want to play the YouTube.
Oh, yeah, we'll totally play it.
Hopefully we won't get a copyright strike on a Howie scream. I don't think they can.
No, I don't think they can do that. Let's give it a shot here. All right, we're playing. Yeah! That's the original?
Yeah, that's the original before they got it all sounded like a ship. How do you suppose a ship would sound in space?
It would sound a little like. Yeah! Like that. Weird. All right, well, there you have it. We're going to talk about that in a second. Before we do, though, a couple of quick things. You got to hear this interview. So it's Christmas time. We got just a few days till Christmas, right? Hope you're all getting your retro crap for Christmas. It's all under the tree, wrapped and ready to go. You're going to get your new Amber Nicks or whatever you're going to do.
Got your eggnog and you're drinking it and you're going, it's good.
It's good. Right. It's good. I like some eggnog. It's good. So here's what I found. I found a little brief interview with a girl in the year that the original Super Nintendo launched here in the U.S. All right. Oh. So that holiday season. And yeah, I just
80. What was that? 82?
80. No, it's later than that. SNES. SNES would have been.
80. Oh, SNES. Author said NES. I apologize.
No. It'd be like 90. Destroy. Whoa, shit. Don't play that.
My ears are stopped up.
Is it 90? Wouldn't be 90.
It would be close to 90s because we saw the PlayStation 1, which went up against the N64 around 95. So it's got to be somewhere between 85 and 95. So yeah, like you said,
whatever it was, 95. When we got it here, this girl was very excited. She also kind of knew her stuff. And then kind of doesn't know her stuff, but it doesn't matter. I have nostalgia for this clip, even though I don't know who this person is. It looked like they were in a GameStop of some sort, maybe Software Etc. back then, or Babbage's, who knows. And here's what she said
games.
On that audio right here. Here you go. Where is it? There it is.
I want Super Nintendo for Christmas. It's got better games, and it's better than like the regular Nintendo, but it's made by the same people. And each year, I guess the same people get better.
$300.
That's what I want for Christmas.
So that is, in your opinion?
My opinion is that's what most kids would want. It's not.
But you're not most kids.
Yeah, well, I'm not most kids, but I watch commercials. And I see how kids react to the Super Nintendo commercials. And, like, you'll see, like, mobs coming up right here just to see this one system, Super Nintendo.
She's pretty stoked about that device.
This kid is way too smart. I hope she grew up to be working the video game industry, but in a good way where she has success and not eat up by the machine.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Don't get eat up by the machine. We don't like that machine when it eats people up. Mm-mm. Yeah, I'd love to know where she is today. I just love the excitement in her voice, and I remember feeling that way about, oh my gosh, any console, any year, up to a certain point. Like, the feelings I had for when I got my Genesis, that was a big deal for me that year. A big deal.
Interesting. The one I remember for some reason the most is trying to win an Xbox original at Taco Bell. Did you do that?
How'd that go for you? Did you do it? Did you win?
Of course I did. Of course I didn't win, but we ate so much Taco Bell that summer. I want to make a special, a Netflix special on, you know, our summer of Xbox, because it was, man, that was my life.
I'd forgotten they had a deal with Taco Bell for in the launch of that thing. I thought it was
McDonald's. We were still Yokiro Taco Bellin' at this point. We still had a little chihuahua.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had to run for the border, all that stuff. Yeah,
you had to. After you had the mild sauce. Ooh.
And the Mexican pizza. Bring that back again. It's gone again.
Right.
At least here. I don't know if it's gone
everywhere. It feels very, but I think you're right. I kind of am nostalgic for the excitement of a new console, because we didn't really get to have a lot of fun with this most recent releases, like the Series and the PlayStation 5, because there was such scarcity. That was no fun to be had.
It was like, scarcity.
I want one.
Plus, it was launching during the pandemic, during the worst part of it.
Yes.
And it was just like, I don't know. It'll forever be marred that way.
The wind.
Yeah.
Yeah, it took the wind out of the sail, man. And it's like, bummer.
But part of it is if you're a kid, man, and there's something like, imagine that when the Super NES came out, and let's say you were 12. You just lose your effing mind.
Like, I'm going to lose my effing mind up here, mama.
This is so good. To just go to the store, see all those people crowded around talking. You could hear somebody in the background trying to convince somebody that something was cool.
$300 ain't bad. I mean, I paid that much for my hairpiece.
That's right. I don't know if he was bald or not. He might have been. I don't know.
No, he sounded bald, though.
That's, yeah. You know how people can sound bald.
Yeah, you could definitely hear it in his voice.
Now, I know, you know, other than you catching this horrible flu cold thing, you've also been busy with stuff. What have you been doing over there?
And maybe I caught it from the, when I went to the thrift store. No, I was kidding. I love thrift stores. So anyway, wash your hands, people. So I was out in the wild at the thrift store, picked up a couple of cool things, but I saw in this big giant box, it was like this big giant box of stuff. And when I say giant box, I mean like, I don't know, 2 foot by 2 foot by about 4 foot in depth, you know, and okay, 4 foot in depth, that's kind of high. I'm on drugs. So anyway, it's a big box. It's a big box. Let me tell you what's in it. Okay, find that. I'll tell you what's in it, then you'll know. Okay. Satech flight system.
Okay.
What is that?
It's like a HOTAS kind of thing, right?
Like a HOTAS, but it's a lot bigger. You got a big yoke system for the flight emulation. Yep. You got like the throttles. You got like 3 levels of throttles there. You got the rudder pedals on the floor, so you can wee, 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 and do little things. And I was like, oh, this is perfect. We're playing X-Wing this week. I should get this. And they want $100 for it. And I will say, that's not a bad price.
It's not bad at all. It's a good price. It's all right.
It's not bad at all. Yeah. But I kept seeing the size of that box and going, I'm going to play it. I'm going to play with it for about 5 minutes.
Yeah, where are you going to keep it?
And then where am I going to put it? It's going to be all in the way. It had all the stuff too, man. It had all the goodies along with it, and the mounting stuff where you can mount it on those, the little standalone things. I was like, oh, that'd be cool. But once again, the reason why I don't have arcade machines in my house is because I don't got no place for them.
Yeah, same.
I had it. I went back almost every day this week, like some kind of weird retro collecting freak showing up every day. Oh, maybe I should get it. What do you think? I don't know. Maybe. And then they're like, well, we can show it to you for $75. I'm like, damn it. And so the point is, I got sick, luckily I got sick and I never went back and I never picked it up because that would have been a total nightmare. Where would I keep that at? I don't know. So anyway, so I ran out instead and I picked up. I was like, you know what? I can't leave here with nothing. So I didn't leave with not nothing.
Well,
so I got Star Trek companion disc. So a bunch of CD-ROMs.
What does a companion disc do? Like music and stuff or how they make the show?
I think one of these, it has all the scripts from all the episodes. You can read the scripts. It's got all the trailers and a whopping, 220 by 160. I mean, huge video files.
Yeah, that's big. Huge.
But I got a whole buttload. I've got 10 of them for $10. I got interactive technical manual for the NC-1701D. I got the Star Trek Omnipedia, but yeah, just
that's great.
I couldn't leave.
Love it. Yeah. Can that run? What do you run that as now? Can you run that in Windows or what? How do those files work?
It's a very interesting question, Scott, because what I did was I loaded these up and Windows 11 would not use Explorer to let me go to the media files.
Explorer shit. That's right. Because back then it would have been tied to the browser, man. You know?
Right. So what I was able to do, though, is I was able to use ImageBurn and I was able to create a ISO file and then I can mount that. And then it would show me all the files. And so that's what I did. Yeah. I've been doing all kinds of DOS simulation this past week. So it was pretty easy stepping back to loading up some files on this Star Trek crap.
That's great.
But man,
that's great.
All I got to say is this. I'm probably gonna be feeling better next week. And if I go back to the thrift store and that Satech flight system is still there, I don't know.
Tempted.
What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do, Scott? What am I supposed to do, man?
Yeah, and if you got the flu from that place, that flu is all over those handles and stuff.
I don't think I got the flu from them because I had a coworker who came in and went, I wasn't feeling good all weekend, but I decided to come on in. And we're going to work close together. Thanks, man.
Stay home, dude. Freaking stay home. Thanks a lot, dude. Yeah, don't come in. You're not like us where we have to get on mic and do our shit, you know?
Stay home. Yeah. But yeah, you see, he does the best he can. I don't know a situation. Maybe he's only got 5 sick hours and he can't do it.
Could be.
But I know that I'm sick. I'm so sick.
You are sick. And I feel bad for you because I just got over this. I'm still sort of getting over it. But it's nice to know that the baton couldn't be handed to a nicer guy than you.
Thanks.
You're welcome. sweet. You've had a busy week. I've had a busy week. It's time for us to dive in and talk about one of my favorite games of all time.
Shall we play a game?
We will indeed. The game is Star Wars X-Wing. I'm a little more, I lean a little TIE Fighter because I kind of like playing bad guys. It's just a thing with me.
Yeah.
So,
and don't worry, if you're listening to the sound of our voices and you're like, I wish I would talk about TIE Fighter, we will.
Oh, it'll come
we
up.
Yeah, we wanted to go this route first. This is the first one released in 1992. And we're going to work through the whole series.
Yeah,
it's DOS Timber.
Yeah, it's DOS Timber. Everybody celebrate with us, will you? It is a game that came out in 1994. I always think it's earlier than that. I don't know why.
It's according to which version you got. You can pick up all three versions, the 92 floppy disk. I think the 93 for the floppy disk, the 5 floppy disk. Mm-hmm. Then the collector CD-ROM with all the expansions in 94. And then 98 is the collector series, which gets confusing because this is also a CD-ROM. But it uses Redbook audio. So, you might have played one of these and you will have zero nostalgia for the others because there's a lot of small changes and specifically to what you're seeing visually and the audio. And so that could be really displacement.
Yeah. It sort of just depends on what you had. I remember playing this game until my eyes bled many nights. Just really kept me up at night. I thought this was an amazing game, and I've always been a little bit flummoxed as to why they don't try and remake it. So I know Rogue Squadron, a relatively new EA helmed game, which was well received, also supported VR. That game is kind of a successor in a way, but it's not the same. You know, like what I'm looking for, I would be happy with a straight up remake, or I would be happy for them to return to the tone and kind of game that this was, the kind of mission structure, you know, the support for the peripherals, like the kind you almost bought, that sort of stuff would be awesome. Although I never did play it that way. It was always just keyboard and mouse, but
that's a lot of people played on keyboard and mouse, and I wanted the full experience. So I popped out my Wingman.
Oh, look at this. You.
It's a USB Wingman.
Yeah, I have one of those somewhere.
Which is perfect because this is one of the ones you'd want to play with this game because it only needs four buttons. You can't map a lot to it.
Right.
Got a little throttle slide here. That works in the later versions, but not the earlier versions. There's some fixes, and there's a lot of community activity around this, including a mod DB, which we've talked about on several shows we've done before, where people are making mods to reskin, essentially, these games and bring them modern and also allow you to play them in like a VR mode.
Yeah, which I'm totally down with, by the way. Totally down with them doing that. I will play that stuff. You got no complaints from me. The original game used a very rudimentary geometry system that looked basically like a Super FX chip on a Nintendo a little bit, maybe a little more than that, but it was still, you know, pretty basic. But to us, just entering that 3D phase that was right around the corner, this was the bomb.
This is one of the first polygonal flight games you would see out there. Most of the rest of them were done with sprites.
Yep.
So you can, the good thing about this one is you can flip cameras. You can look at your ship in different ways. You could turn around and look at R2. And you go, hey, R2 back there, what's going on? If you're flying the X-Wing, there's several ships you can fly.
By the way, this is another one of those times in my life where I had to do a major upgrade to play it. I had to get a new CPU, new RAM, new all that. It wasn't cheap. And I didn't do it just for this, but this was a big motivator. I had two motivations.
Oh, bad motivator drive, Scott. Yeah.
My motivations were I was really into making my own Doom levels then around 94.
Right.
And I was super into that. And also I knew some stuff was coming on the horizon. Like, you know, Quake had at least been talked about. And I knew if I didn't up my game and get into the Pentium generation, I was going to be screwed. So I did. But anyway, let's hear a little sound from the game. This is some X-Wing sounds from the original. And you'll hear a little bit of MIDI going on. So enjoy. Wow. It's a little less epic, you know?
Sir.
Well, listen to this.
High interceptors have located a rebel fleet orbiting the planet Torkana.
Excellent. Prepare the attack.
You know what I love about that era is the voices are all crusty and shitty. I love it.
Yeah. This was, so is this the one from the floppy disk or did you look?
Is this I believe this version? Is from the floppy disk version, I believe.
Okay.
So, and that's the one I played. So the CD version, I don't even know if I ever did play it, but it had better audio. It had cleaner, less crunchy voice samples, that kind of stuff. As you mentioned.
And they used the iMuse system, which I was not familiar with, but I did a real deep dive on that. That's basically LucasArts doing sound cues. Mm-hmm. So like if you're in an area and you're playing the game and suddenly a bad guy enters, like let's say Darth Vader, you could have a musical cue that would give you that. So it takes it to the next level of immersion. They got rid of that in the collector series in 98 and they used Red Book audio and they did, you know, John Williams original score and that kind of stuff. So they just did CD audio instead.
Sure.
I love the MIDI stuff and I didn't realize what a rabbit hole or whatever kind of hole I dug myself into because there is a Roland MT32, which is something I always see when I'm installing these old DOS games. And apparently the developer could include this really high quality version of MIDI, like uncompressed. So, you know, the original sound fonts, essentially, that could use to play all the compositions of the thing. And man, it sounds so much better. No one would have nostalgia for it, except for people who worked on the game.
Do you miss the MIDI days? Do you like that stuff when you hear that?
Oh, I do, because I've got a Launchpad Pro, and I like messing around with MIDI devices. It's a lot of fun. MIDI can be pretty powerful, but most of the times we think about MIDI is the
Doom theme when you start up Doom 1 or whatever.
Man, you want to hear something good, go out and check out the Doom Roland MT-32 version of that stuff. Man, it's totally different. It's really? Like, that's not what I heard at all. It also, sounds good.
Yeah, that's the other thing is MIDI is still used by a lot of professionals for a lot of reasons. And it's not what you think. It's not this crappy Sound Blaster Pro crap.
No.
It's, you know, but that's what we knew. As gamers, we were introduced to the concept of MIDI, I think, through that sort of stuff. It's a pretty cool game. It's set in the, obviously, the Star Wars universe and is somewhat, not based on, but it fits right in with the Timothy Zahn Thrawn trilogy that was very popular, even though that stuff is technically not canon anymore. You know, a lot
maybe
of people,
not to Disney.
Yeah. I mean, they brought some of it back.
Brain.
They stuck Thrawn in, what's the last one they just did, that show?
Yeah.
What's her name?
I know what you're talking about. What's her name?
What's her beak?
With the thing.
The thing.
With the thing, and she did the Star Wars stuff. And
you know, the lady from Clerks 2. I can't think of her name. But anyway, she that had a lot to do with the popularity, I think. You know, flight simulation was also a very big burgeoning thing.
Yeah.
And this dude, this Lawrence Holland guy, he had three games prior to this, or World War II air combat games. I think that went a long way to inform how this game was going to feel and perform and, you know, all that.
The first iterations were that using that engine that they were already working on. So this was not a group. This was like a group of contractors that had not formed a separate studio yet. And so when they were working on some of the first things, they were just like some random guys that already worked on some World War II stuff. And this is perfect for that because it's just World War II battles in space, right? I mean, it's just dogfighting in space.
That's all it is. I mean, some of the physics change, obviously, because you're in a 360 environment without gravity and without, you know,
When you do a barrel roll, it's a lot different. Yeah. Matter of fact, when you're doing the maze runs, that's when you're starting out as a pilot, you go in there and you key in your name and you go through the maze run and you got to go through these checkpoints, and
it's kind of a tutorial a little bit, right? Sort of.
It's to get you familiar with the gameplay, because the first level is like you're just flying through stuff, making sure you get there. And I was trying way too hard apparently when I first started, because I was like, oh, you got to get it right through the middle. No, all that stuff is holograms. As long as you get close enough, you get points for it. You get a check on that. So I was like, okay. So I did that, and then we get to the level 2, you have to start shooting stuff. And then the level 3, you got to start adjusting your energy, lasers, and your shield. Something that we'll see a lot of in space sims going forward. So,
And this was also a breath of fresh air in the wake of something like, and we've even talked about it before. We did a whole show on the
Wing Commander.
Wing Commander, thank you. Yeah, and this is a gigantic leap forward, as far as I'm concerned, over that. And I remember at the time going, we're never going back. This is what you do from now on. This is the future, and we're in it. And so, and kind of we were like, this is a lot of what you get out of certainly mission based flight sims, space sims these days is this structure. Yeah. This is the game. Yeah. And I think that's great. It's also LucasArts first fully published in house thing, right?
Right. Because Broderbund had the Star Wars licensing for games up until that point, and this was the first in-house sort of contract ways to do the Star Wars games.
Right.
Brought it home.
Yeah, brought it back home, baby. Brought it in-house. Let George Lucas have what is his. That's right.
And I'll be honest, I never had X-Wing. I had X-Wing versus TIE Fighter later on, but my friend had this one, and I would get bored.
You'd get bored with it, would you?
I'd play with it for a few minutes because he wouldn't let me play his save, right?
Yeah.
So you have to work your way up. So you have to go through all the maze tutorials. And I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah, those are boring.
Fly through like 130 of these or 145 of these. I'm like, oh, my God.
It's a lot. It's like school a little bit. I'll give you that. Yeah. It feels like maybe there was a little too much of that. But also, we're talking about an era where nobody was used to this kind of control yet. Like full 360 degrees, out in space. You rotate any direction you want to. This isn't like on a plane. I mean, it kind of is. Like, virtual space back then is not quite the same as the big polygonal swimming pool that is now. It's more complicated now. But still, like, navigating in that space is not. I would imagine a lot of kids bumped into this and went, well, how come I'm not lightsabering with Darth Vader? You know, that's not what they want.
But, you know, I was big into the – I think – if you had have sold me on a land, some of the biggest things I loved about Star Wars, the first ones, was I loved the land speeder and I loved the X-Wing. I didn't have a lot of love for the lightsabers. It was cool to see, but man, I wanted to do the vehicles.
And I was more of a ship guy too. I'll admit that.
Yeah.
In my case, it was snow speeders. Snow speeders, yes. AT-ATs, AT-STs, and
I think that was our first Star Wars game that we got that was a home console. Did the Atari 2600, was the NES the one that had the Empire Strikes Back?
Mm.
And you get to fly around, release the cables.
Yeah, dude. What was the N64 game? Something of the Empire. What was that called?
Star Wars Mayhem.
No, it wasn't that.
Speaking of.
Rogue, some, maybe it was a rogue thing, like Rogue.
Oh, that's right. Rogue, yeah.
Not
Rogue
Squadron, leader? But whatever. What,
Rogues, no.
I don't remember. Oh, look at you, 32X, man. Had that game and that 32, well, not that very one, but I had that combo.
Right. Yeah. This is, if you're not looking on the screen, if you can't see this right now, basically it's me holding up a 32X for the Sega Genesis, and it is the one and only Sega Genesis game, 32X that I have. It's the Star Wars arcade game. You could have played this in the arcade, but I think it was only in Japan. I'm not sure.
Correct.
About that.
Correct. It's not the one everyone thinks Star Wars Arcade is, that kind of Battlezone looking vector game. And it is.
Which I played the crap out of.
Same. It was awesome. I love that game. Every arcade I went to, if they had that, that's where I spent my time.
Use the Force, Luke. Hearing Obi-Wan in his digitized voice.
Yep. Oh. It was like that. Yeah. And we'll talk more about that game a little bit in terms of its inspiration. But this game on the 32X was not that. It was like a whole new take, and the arcade version of it was in Japan.
Yeah.
In America,
this took away 32X. Took away a lot of the simulation part, a lot of the worried about, getting your medals and all that kind of stuff. And more like it's an arcade game. It's like, okay, you want an arcade shooter? We want your quarters as quick as possible. We ain't got no time for, storytelling. Mm-hmm. Let's just get in here and fly and shoot.
Right. Yeah. Which is a lot like here's the Star Wars arcade game, the one that I'm thinking, or the one that I have so much fondness for, which is kind of everything's green and made out of vectors.
Yeah, that's the original.
Let's play a little of that just for fun.
Red 5 standing by.
Red 5 standing by.
I mean, it's pretty.
I will forever see those starburst things coming out.
Oh, yeah, dude. Like, it's got here, chat. You can see some video here. Let me start it. I don't know why it's not playing. Why isn't it playing?
Luke, trust me. Luke.
Yahoo.
Yeah, apparently Yahoo is the best. Oh, you got to do the trench. You're doing the trench.
Yeah, Trench is great. Yeah. Kill the Star Destroyer. What else? You go on to do all sorts of Star Wars shit and say Yahoo at the end. By the way, the Yahoo at the end is like this. I'll play the whole thing.
Yahoo! You're all clear, kid.
Tins of Harrison Ford.
You're all clear, kid.
You're all clear, kid.
Yahoo! Anyway, this game got more quarters out of me than just about anything of my youth. Pumped it into this game, and would have to wait in line a lot. I have to do a lot of up next stuff where I put a quarter on the edge of the thing.
Yes.
There was a sit down model in my dad's arcade. That sit down model was awesome.
I loved the sit down model. I love the yoke that they have for this thing too. Mm-hmm. You can order. There's a couple places online that you can order a modern remake of these and plug it in. Put it on your screen, down on your desk, and pretend like you're back in the arcade.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, it's very cool. This was a really cool game, and I would think that at least some measure. See, what year was this? This came out in 83. It looks like
83.
We're 11 years away from TIE Fighter, or sorry, X-Wing. But I have to think these devs were like us. They played the shit out of this and wanted to make a big blown out version of this, but with maybe more serious tone to it. You know. So it's hard. It's hard not to see the inspiration here or whatever. And Vector at the time, I remember thinking everything Vector was magic to me.
Vector was way cooler. If you've never seen Vector in real life, I mean, looking at it on screen, it's okay. But when you go to the man, when you're a real arcade and you see a Vector game, that there's something magical about it.
No, I mean, like Battlezone or even something like Tempest, which is a little less first person. Yeah. Those games made you feel like you were in the future.
Am I in the future?
Yeah. Yeah, because you were really, what you were doing is looking at the polygons without the texture mapping. That's really the difference.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there was something about that was very Tron-ish, you know? Tron had a lot of that look to it. We were all obsessed with frickin' Tron. Oh, I want to play, I want to watch Tron right now, just talking about it.
Yeah, the first X-Wing version that came out was only polygonals, like you said, just had flat colors. It covered up all the things. Mm-hmm. Had a few sprites and things for the menu system.
Yeah,
but then in the second version, the second iteration, the CD-ROM in '94, they had garage shading. And I tried to understand that. I kept trying to understand all those terms, yeah. And I just couldn't. I couldn't quite grasp it. I was too deep into the MT32 Roland stuff to get into that stuff.
Yeah, so. And I think the future of 3D was those seeds were planted with vector gaming.
Yeah,
and what we would end up with later was really it owes a lot of it to that. The only real problem I had with vector is even as cool as it looked, it still had a really low frame rate. And still does.
It really does. Yeah. Well, it's kind of cool because it flashes. The flashing of it kind of, I don't know. It's very. It brings you in.
Yeah,
makes you feel like you're in the future. Like I said,
if anything's gonna give you the seizure, it's one of these games.
Right. That's what I wondered too. I'm like, what was the cycle rate on this? I mean, it feels like people should have been drooling in front of this thing. Going ah.
Did arcade? I know arcades had the whole like don't do drugs warnings. They had don't pirate warnings and all that. Did they ever have the? Because every home game will have an anti or not anti seizure, but like a warning about possible seizures. I don't remember if arcade games were required to do that or not. Maybe they are.
And that was based on what was that based on the all the kids who went into seizures in Japan from some Pokemon.
Well, I mean it happens. Like I was having a Mario Kart. Little Mario Kart competition party thing at my house once.
Right.
This is back when I was doing scout leadership stuff and I had, I don't know, 10 kids, all ages 14 to 16 or something in the house. Yeah. And this one kid, it was his turn. He'd been waiting. He's been jonesing the whole night to play. And we're like, all right, hop in here, dude. And we were playing. What's the GameCube one? Double Dash. I think that's right.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Double Dash.
Double Dash. Still maybe the best one they ever did. Anyway.
Yeah.
He sits down, starts playing. And I'm looking at him. And he suddenly stops steering, but he's staring at the TV.
Yeah, staring, yeah.
And
yeah.
He goes, he starts to lean back like this. And I realize kind of something snapped in my head. And I go, oh, I know what this is. So I leap forward, grab him so he doesn't whack his head on the wood floor.
Yeah.
And pull my wallet out, put it in his mouth. Good thing, too, because he chewed through my freaking wallet.
Nice.
He had a full-on grand mal seizure. It was bad.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I worked with a guy. Back when I was very young and in high school, and he was an older gentleman, but he was a fry cook, and he would be standing there, and all of a sudden he'd be holding the fryer, and all of a sudden he would just be off in space, and just he would just I'm like, we've had to save him a couple of times.
It's scary. Super scary. It's scary as hell. Yeah,
maybe fry cook is not your job. Right. I was like,
Well, in this case, he, so I'm holding on to him, trying to keep him still. I'm like, call 911. You do this, you do that. Everyone's running around. And he had no history of seizures. So this was new.
And did you point at people that you used your Boy Scout training? Call 911.
Oh, I'm good at it. I'm good at when emergencies strike, I kick in, dude. I do. I panic later, but not during.
Oh, yeah. I'm the same way. I lock it down. It's like, okay, we got to take this stuff serious.
And yeah, we got to do this. We got to do that. And then when it's over, then I kind of have a little breakdown. But
yeah.
But anyway, we ran him to the hospital. I went with him. Went in the thing. I remember one of the weirdest things was because he wasn't breathing very well during it. He was trying to breathe all through his nose, and it was like making this horrible flapping sound. And
reminds me of Hank Hill. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I'm sorry.
I get it. You don't have to be sorry. Right. So we get there and he's got these crazy pops all over his face. Like not like zits, but like capillaries had burst everywhere.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. It was so bad. And I remember telling his parents, I said, I'm really sorry. He was just playing a game at my house. And they're like,
I knew video games were going to be the end of my boy. I knew it.
He's okay now though. I talked to him recently. He's doing fine. And it was the only time it ever happened, but it was just a video game. So I think they do those warnings for real. Like that stuff happens to kids that have no history of it. I've never had one. My daughter did, but she also had a weird whole thing while she was going through puberty with seizures. And turns out they were not related to games, but games could trigger them. And so you just got to be careful. So there's a little PSA for everybody. The more you know,
Rainbow.
I might even have a more you know clip. Hold on. More you know. Let's just see if I have it. Come on. Do I not have it?
No, you don't. So we'll just pretend. We'll hold our hands up and we'll do the rainbow hand arc and go, the more you know.
Oh, you know what? I found it. So now you do your hand thing, and now okay. I play it. Hold on. Wait, why? Okay, there it is. Oh, look at that. We've all learned a little something today, you know? And I feel good about that. Don't do drugs, everybody. Please don't. All right. Let's talk about
Old games, though. If you're playing along at home, Good Old Games and Steam both have all three of these, the original floppy version on DOSBox. They have the CD-ROM version, and they even have the 98 Special Collector Series, all for $3.50 right now. Good Old Games or Steam. I highly recommend it. Had a lot of fun.
I would, too. Still fun today. Still good. Even in its, you know, old crappy look. Doesn't matter. Holds up.
Yeah. And I played, I showed you my old Wingman controller, and I've talked about the SafeTech controller, but there's just more reason for me not to get anything else. I've already got a Thrustmaster, right? Sweet ass.
How often have you used that prior to any of this? Did you use it much before any of this?
I had to break this out of the closet. that's the kind of thing. This is the Xbox / PC version, so it's got an Xbox logo on it. And mapping, I had to do some. Yeah, and there's a guy recently that was doing specifically for flight games, and he talked about how to set controllers up and everything. It's on YouTube. About to
that's
find
cool.
a link for it, but it was all good for the Mr. FPGA project, and it worked really well. I was very pleased.
That's great. Real quick, for those who are wondering more about this 32X title, I got a little sound for that. Check this out. So you might say, "Wow, that's an improvement." Well, it is. It's got nice sound.
Yeah.
A little bit more digitized. It's a 32-bit system. It could technically do 32-bit audio, but not quite.
And a really good way to get a copyright strike.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Great way to do it.
Or at least a copyright notification.
Yes. A few people have. Anytime you do Star Wars shit, you're screwed. You may as well just delete the VODs. The visuals on this were interesting. They're not like mind-blowing, but they're all right. And the arcadiness of this is fun. I owned this game. Yeah. And I remember at the time buying it thinking, this is next level TIE Fighters or X-Wing. That's what this is going to be. It's not really. It's kind of.
But it is, because this used the TIE Fighter engine, right? This used the
same TIE engine. Versus X-Wing.
Yeah, used the same engine. So we get texture mapping here. So it takes us to the next level. This version's all right.
It's okay. It's a little arcadey for my taste. A little on rails. Like it's the on rails part I don't love.
And if you enjoyed the mouse stuff, guess what? You got to get a joystick. I think that's the only way you can play this particular version. I think you have to have a
Or a pad. You could play it on
Pad.
What do you call it? You know, if you're going to emulate it or whatever, you can do it on
pad. Right.
But it's all right. I mean, as 32X games went, I would probably put this in the top 12.
Okay. So that's the 32X version. I'm sorry. I thought I was looking at the 98 collectors.
No,
version.
It's your meth head. The freaking cold medicine is what that is right there.
Yeah.
This is the 32X game, and it's cool. It's worth checking out if you are a 32X aficionado. If you care not at all about that weird peripheral. It's brief lifetime and all that, and maybe pass it. But if you like the 32X games like I do, I think you might enjoy it.
Yeah, this is a really good 32X game to get as well.
Yeah, it's hard to get, actually. This is a hard one. So if you want to go
like it.
Pay for it and find it on eBay, good freaking luck.
Good for you.
All right. Well, there you have it. That is our look at the amazing X-Wing. We will get to TIE Fighter at one point, or X-Wing v TIE Fighter.
I'm very excited about TIE Fighter because watching Luke and the different pilots, X-Wing, B-Wing, Y-Wings, all those in the movies, they're always turning dials.
Right.
But I felt like Darth Vader did it way more in his TIE Fighter. So he was like, I'm assuming there's going to be a lot more management of my energy laser shield. You know, you got to keep them at a certain level so they'll recharge without sucking up your speed. There's a lot of things. This game goes a lot deeper than you think.
Yeah, it does. That's why I like it. I like it because it brought some depth to the table. It made kids bored, but the adults loved it.
Yes. Early on, I didn't know this. In the first iteration on the floppy disk, I didn't know this. My friend had it. He had the floppy disk version. You can save those as a profile. And then when you go on some tours, you can actually have that save play and influence the AI and how that person plays as a wingman. So you can actually take them along as a wingman.
So you'll be my wingman anytime is what you're saying.
Absolutely. I'll be your wingman.
Excellent. Here's the weirdest sound effect in the game though. I thought this was odd.
Spawn.
It's a weird thing to just have in your Star Wars.
It's weird that Spawn just shows up in our early DOS games. Weird. Was that MIDI?
That was no. That's definitely not MIDI. I don't know what the hell they did with Spawn. They made the worst sound ever.
People don't remember there used to be two processors for stuff. There was you know, MIDI music processor, and then there was special, you know, sound effects that were played sometimes on a different chip on the same Sound Blaster card or ad lib.
That way you'd get this. And then you could also have.
Yes!
No, not that.
Let's get scratching.
No.
Spawn.
No. No. I can't find it.
Why do they?
Whatever.
But thank you for taking us through your library of sound clips.
Whatever you need, you know.
Merry Christmas.
I do like that one.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
All right, let us play a game here.
Destroy it.
We're going to play a game, and we've amended the rules a little bit, folks.
Yeah, and I don't know if I put, let me make sure I put the new.
I think we're missing your genres all, but the rest of it's there.
Okay.
I think. All right. I meant to tell you that earlier, but I forgot.
Yeah.
Anyway, I had this idea that, you know, as we go through these games for Guess Our Game, we are kind of running out of ones that are immediately going to be easy, not easy, but easier to recognize. And right. just having a year and a platform, it was starting to feel like, well, that's just not enough. We're ever going to win this, like, unless we do something obvious. And so to help with, as the games get more complicated and more obscure, we're going to give additional information. So instead of initially just saying platform and year, we'll give you those two things plus genre or genres. It may be a mix of things. And the publisher. And the reason I didn't do developer, even though sometimes they're the same, is this just makes it a little more nebulous, but also gives you a nugget of info. All right.
Nuggets.
So sometimes, you know, you'll have Sega developed it and Sega published it. That's fine. We can say that. But sometimes it's Sega is publishing it for another developer, and that won't give anything away. Anyway, so
this feels like one of those things where it's like we've explained the rules enough. Let's play along, and then you'll see what we mean.
Yeah, I think people will get it. If they don't get it, then maybe they're dumb. I don't know.
Oh my goodness,
that's terrible. Why would I say that? Why would I do that? You're right. All right, Brian, I'm going to tell you my info. This is the 32X. We're keeping it on the last thing we talked about. Sega 32X. It was the year of 1994. Same year as this.
Okay.
The genres are science fiction / fighting game. Mm. Okay. So I guess I should say a sci-fi themed fighting game. How about that?
Right.
And the publisher is Almanac Corporation.
Almanac.
Yep. Probably never heard of them. I hadn't either. That's who published it. And you can still ask your three questions as we go. Whatever those may be. But now none of those three need to worry about being genres or years or, a publisher or any of that. So you're good.
Right.
All right, here you go. Fighting sci-fi. Here's my clip. Here's a little intro for you. Any questions, comments, thoughts?
Is this a challenge to the death?
Yes, it is. Great way of putting it.
Yeah, so it's one of those games. It's like,
I would even call it, I would even say Mortal Kombat-like in the sense that killing your opponent at the end is kind of a goal.
So, okay. I don't know who the hell I'm gonna 32X. I didn't have a lot of 32X games, so this is going to be a tough one.
I owned this one, but it's still obscure. Although a lot of retro, they go to a lot of sites and blogs and stuff. It's always in people's top tens. People like
it. Yeah, so. I'm kind of tempted to bring out my Sega Genesis Mini 2 that had a whole bunch of 32X games on it and see if it's on there.
Yeah, I bet it is.
Let's see. Is this a Star Wars game?
No, it is not Star Wars related at all. Okay. It's 100% a new IP. And I, when I say new IP, I don't want to give you the impression that it's like had a bunch of sequels because it didn't. They only made one.
Okay, so I made one. All right. This is Space Mutants Go to Hell.
Let's find out if that is correct. Is it? Hold on. Is it? No, it is not.
Oh.
The correct answer. Oh, it should have been. That's what it should have been. The correct answer is Cosmic Carnage. Cosmic Carnage. This was a weird one-off game. Came out in 94 as a fighting game, like I mentioned. It was in conjunction with ALU and published in the States by Sega, but in Japan and other places with this Almanac place.
Right. This is not the Spider-Man Carnage, though, right?
No, that's a... Yeah, exactly. Not the villain from Spider-Man. Exclusively as a 32X add-on game. There was no other place this showed up. It was set in an uncharted star system. The game follows eight fighters from two factions in a struggle for survival. Its gameplay consists of one-on-one fights with a main six-button configuration based on the six-button controller, featuring special moves and finisher techniques as well as two playable modes. The title garnered mostly positive reviews, although at the time there was a fair amount of negativity as well. I think it's a really weird game and looks weird and is weird. And some
and that's
people.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, weird is good. It's so 90s, dude. This thing is bleeding 90s.
Like, yeah, just, I can see it. It looks like it's the cover art looks like a comic book. It looks like. Yeah.
Yeah, great way of describing that. There it is, Chad. You can see it. Cosmic Carnage. A little obscure, but I thought I'd try.
There it is.
Brian, let's dive into yours. Tell me my information. What do I get?
Mine's much easier. The platform is arcade. The year is 1982. The genre is space combat simulation.
Whoa.
And the publisher is Sega.
Oh, my
gosh.
Sega. Got a lot of Sega going on today. All right. Let's see what we got. All right, I got a question. When you say simulation,
was this down in your basement?
It might have been, but when you say simulation, are we talking about first person view, sort of pseudo 3D world, whether it's in sprites or not? But is it like that? Or are we talking like a top down little ship type thing?
It's more, I think, more top down. Let me double check to make sure that I got the right thing. Let's make sure that I'm getting this right. Now I'm questioning my sanity. Did I mention that I'm on the verge of a fever? So let's
see. If you're getting toward Fever Town, we're gonna lose.
Yeah. We're gonna pull it out though. We're gonna pull this off.
Yeah, we're gonna get it, guys.
Dadgummit.
Sounds really familiar.
But almost read what it was called. It's a vector graphics.
It is vector.
It's a 3D first person perspective.
Oh, it is first person.
Both 2D display and a 3D first person perspective. So it goes between the two.
So not
that's
top.
What I was trying to
but not top down though, right?
It's, no, okay. Not really.
Entering sector 1.2.
Oh.
Yeah. There you go. I tried to make mine
easy. All right. Second question. Is this a Star Trek based thing?
Could be some Star Trek. You may have heard a pointy-eared Vulcan there.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
What do I have for... I got one more question, right? I'm going to just guess... what else would they have said back then? They didn't do a lot of colon names. I'll just say this is called Star Trek.
That's it. This is Star Trek, the arcade game. And the arcade. That's it.
Sweet. Look what I did. Wait, I got music for when I win. Nice. Like Kirby.
Nice.
I don't know if I ever played. Let me look it up.
I did play this a few times.
Is it just called? It's just Star Trek, then.
It's just Star Trek arcade game.
Oh, it has a longer name, but it's in tiny letters, and nobody ever knew it. It's called Star Trek Strategic Operations Simulator.
Oh, no one calls it that.
No. Can I see some gameplay? And how did it do? It was received
about as well as the movie. From about
so
time.
This was based on the first movie a little bit. That's cool. Sega Electronics, right. Yeah. Oh, you know what? I remember seeing the Apple II version of this. It does not look as good as this arcade.
No. It's okay. I played it.
Yeah. It's okay. It's all right. What'd you play it on? How'd you get this done?
I want to say I played this. Am I remembering incorrectly? I want to say I played it on the Commodore 64. I could be wrong. I could be playing a homebrew version. I'm not sure. But I think that's where I played.
Well, look, you're sick. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you want from me?
What do you want from Brian when he's sick?
What do you want from me?
This is a lot like the Star Wars vector business.
It is very much.
Oh, wow. Look at this.
And I think that's exactly what I said when I played it.
Oh, you're right. There's a top down aspect to it. Up top, there's like a star map thing.
That's right.
And then down below here, you're doing your bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Split screen.
I kind of think this looks
cool. Klingon ship.
Oh, this is so familiar to me now. Oh, this looks awesome.
Yeah.
I want to play this.
Play it, man. And then you'll remember, oh, yeah, this sucks.
Do the Vectrex have this?
I don't know if the Vectrex has a good question. Let's take a look.
It looks a little twitchy.
Oh, it's definitely twitchy.
Yeah, I don't know if the ship should control like that.
Beep, beep, beep.
Well, anyway, that's cool. I'm into it. This is the awesome player Star Trek.
Play Star Trek.
Nicely done. Now we turn our minds and hearts to this.
Welcome to the treasure room.
All right. The good news is you can send emails or calls or texts to us, and we'll do all three. Whatever you send us, we'll do. 801-471-0462 for those texts and calls. And if you'd rather email us, playretroshow@gmail.com. And in fact, today I'm going to read an email. This is from Josh, who I think just goes by Josh. Okay.
Oh, hi, Josh.
I didn't want to say Joshua or...
Right.
Gersh.
Gersh.
Hi, I'm Gersh. Anyway, Josh says, hi, my name is Josh, and I listen to every Play Retro. Well, that's very nice to hear.
Yeah.
I was listening to the Alex Kidd episode. That was last week, and I used to play Dragon Power for the NES. I only realized it was a Dragon Ball game when I was an adult. That game was the worst. I probably spent too much of my childhood playing the only game available to me for the NES. I recently tried to play it again. It is totally unplayable.
It looks like trash. I love it. I want to play.
He says, thanks and have a great day, says Josh. Now, here's the thing about this email that it prompted in my head. There are a lot of examples of this, especially for us as we're trying to dig deep into the past and talk about old games and experiences. Some of this stuff when you were 10, and partly because it's all you had, you would sit and play, I don't know, 2600 version of Combat. I would play for days and not stop. I thought it was the greatest thing I ever played. You go back now and you go, oh, this is hard and lame and kind of not good.
It's what happened here. I thought this was a good game.
Yeah. So do you have one like that where it just stands out as a game that doesn't hold up for you now? What is it?
Oh, I don't know.
For me, it's the original Mario Brothers. I can't play it.
Yeah, yeah. I have trouble playing the original Doom with nothing, just vanilla Doom.
Just straight Doom?
Straight Doom with no mouse look and all that crap.
Yeah, that's hard. I played a bunch of that recently, but I think I enjoyed it because it had mouse look mod stuff in it.
Yeah, yeah. That's the only way I would play it. It has to be modded. The original flavor, no thanks.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of another one that I would, like at an arcade game, like, oh yeah, I know. I don't think I would like to play. Well, you know what? That doesn't count because I've just played so much of it. Street Fighter II, I played so much of it.
Oh yeah,
that true. I ran out of steam on that eventually, and so to play it now would be difficult for me.
I've already done this,
but I didn't play a lot of the Alpha games,
right?
And so I would enjoy those right now, even the 2D stuff. It's not. I think that's just because I overplayed it, so that doesn't really count.
Yeah. That happens.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd be curious what people out there say. What are your games that you just cannot return to, but you have nothing but love for the time you played it, you know?
Yeah.
Because I love that stuff.
Question.
Yeah, I love that stuff.
About that some more.
Yeah, that'd be a fun little subtopic. So send in your emails and your calls and let us know yours on that list. Our next discussion is going to be Fallout 1, 2, and Tactics.
Oh, yes. One, two, and Tactics back before you really got into the first person, more like the top down kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, well, back in the day, it was all, you know, one and two were the, and Tactics were third or isometric games. And
isometric, yeah.
They established the tone and what we would get eventually with what we have now as these Fallout games. But those originals have a really soft spot place for me.
Yeah.
They're a little bit like the original XCOM for me, though. They're hard to go back and play now.
Yeah, we're going to see.
They're really important to what would come later. And even though there's a bit of a, well, maybe we can talk about this, but there's a little bit of a King of the Hill fight over who was first, these guys or was it Wasteland?
Wasteland, yeah. Is that it?
What's the other one? Oh, no, Jagged Alliance I might be thinking of.
Ah.
Very similar games, tonally, their setting, turn-based, you know, all that. But, yeah, Fallout 1 and 2 need their time. All right, they need it. So we're doing it. Here. That's next week. That's 101, Brian. 101.
101. How binary.
Yeah, how binary of us. And also, it's like a class in college. You got to get it to pass.
Yeah.
So we're going to do Fallout 101 next week, which should be a blast. Stick around for that. Also, a quick shout out to some new patrons this week. And I don't know if you're related to one of these people or not.
Okay.
But our top new three patrons are Wabbit Magic. We know him. Big time in the community.
Oh, I love Wabbit. Yes.
Love that guy. Terry Dunaway. Any relation?
That's my dad.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's my dad. Well, it could be. I mean, there's multiple Terry Dunaways, but that is my dad's name.
That seems too coincidental. I'll bet your dad's just supporting you on your show. I think that's what's going on.
He might have. That's great. And Wabbit Magic, great community member. Love Wabbit.
Welcome every day. Welcome Terry Dunaway, Wabbit Magic, and Anthony Garcia to the show.
Oh, yes. We know Anthony, too. Yeah. Yep. We know all these people.
I wonder if he wants us to call him Tony. If you do, let us know.
Tony.
Anyway, you guys are awesome, and you are a part of the family now. That means no commercials ever. You get pre-show content every week. We did some today, so you'll be hearing that. And other monthly cool benefits. Go check it out. That's patreon.com/playretro.
Play something retro.
Play something retro. Frogpants.com/playretro is our website. You'll find everything else there. Brian, is there anything you'd like to say to the fine folks before we get out of here? Because you're so sick.
Yeah, absolutely. Teledoc, answer your phone. Your phone. I'm sick.
Answer your phone, Teledoc. Is that a service you can use? Yeah, is that a thing?
Yeah,
and does it work? Can they determine what you've got and they can get you a prescription and all that shit?
Well, yeah, like it's low level stuff. It's like, oh, you sound like you're sick. Here's some Theraflu. Because, you know, it's like, it's not high level. You know, prescription stuff, but they can talk to you over the phone and go, oh yeah, you sound like you need some Theraflu.
You sound like ass, they say right there on
the
phone.
You sound like, oh my God, you sound like ass.
You sound like such ass.
You should take some Theraflu.
You ass. All right, well, that'll do it for us. Thank you all for listening. Please, between now and the end of next week when we meet again, which will be, wait a minute, let me think about that. No, it'll be just prior to the new year. Yeah. And just after Christmas. Good. So go have 29th. A merry, wonderful Christmas. Enjoy the hell out of yourselves. Merry I hope you Christmas. Get a bunch of retro shit so that you can play something retro.
And don't take no crap from Santa.
And we'll see you next time.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Yahoo! You're all clear, kid!
Yahoo!
Yahoo!
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.